This episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real is brought to you by Warby Parker Eyewear. Get boutique quality, classically crafted eyewear, including sunglasses, at revolutionary prices. For a free home try-on of five stylish frames of your choice, plus free 3-day shipping, go to warbyparker.com/itsthereal. Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Run On Sentences, a.k.a. Fuck Up Some Commas.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Organic Bicycles, a.k.a. Brooklyn's Finest.
A.k.a. what up? This Deezer's Nice, a.k.a. Young Chipotle, a.k.a. Pocket Stay Fat Like Terrio.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time with It's the Real.
Alright, so last week we had DJ Clark Kent on.
Yes.
We went viral.
Yeah.
We
did.
Yeah, we went widespread. We, he talked about having, how Jay-Z dissed Tupac.
Right.
Before he died.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This unreleased diss track, and it got, like, crazy traction all around the internet.
And so now we need you to beat that.
Yeah.
That's right. I have an unreleased Jay-Z diss track.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Are you going to perform it before he dies?
I'm trying to get it on Tidal. I'm trying to get all the money from both ways. I want to get money from him and diss him. It was like a remix to, remember when MC Hammer chased him through the woods?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I hopped on that.
Oh, wow.
Those, you know what I'm saying?
What a
do a couple
beat.
Shots at Blue Ivy, you know?
Yeah.
You remember Lil Wayne was like, he's going to kidnap Beyonce? I took it the next step. You know, I was like, you know, I'm just going to cancel all her hair appointments.
Yo,
make things
ruthless.
Real difficult for the queen. But, you know... I think Viacom hopped in and was like, yo, don't let that release. So I'm going to take that to my grave. So you lucky Hove.
Right, right. Team MC.
You lucky Hove. Yeah. Don't let me get flex on you.
But you actually have rock roots.
I do. I have Rockefeller roots. Rockefeller, y'all, I'm throwing it up. It's an audio podcast. Can't see it. I was one of the few people to work at Rockefeller when they were on Fifth Avenue. And if you've seen the Hard Knock Life movie, that's when they had the cockroaches in the water cooler. Like, we had no heat in the office. And... they eventually moved to a building with IBM and like Microsoft. It was like this huge building, the Sony building.
Yeah.
And I worked with them, and that was the year Hey Poppy dropped.
Wow.
So for the Puerto Rican Day Parade, we were wearing like the team was just mostly like 15-year-old light skin girls. Yeah. They're wearing Hey Poppy like cropped midriffs.
Which is smart.
Which is smart because that's what people want. They give out copies of Hey Poppy.
Yep.
And we are walking with a Rockefeller banner. And we walk into a group of Latin kings.
Yeah.
And they are like livid. I don't know what the beef is, if they don't like Hove or what. And they like rip down the banner.
Really?
So physically. So me and like the four of the dudes there who have like time ports, because you know that is the time.
Yeah.
The time ports. Two-way pager. Sickest shit I've ever seen. And we're just like, yo, we're going to war with these guys. And like two of the Latin kings just pull out like box cutters, and one of the dudes with us from on Rockefeller was from Brooklyn, and he just pulls out like a 12-inch knife.
What? Wait, where did he pull it from?
He just pulled it like from his back.
Yo, oh, it was like a magician.
No magician. Like, he was about to make some people disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He was doing like, and it was just like this huge standoff. The cops came.
Whoa.
Like we had to run to the side. All the girls are screaming. Mind you, we're still carrying like boxes of Hey Poppy t-shirts.
And you're trying to celebrate Puerto Rican Day.
I know.
Long story short, we actually get into the parade, but this was that parade where everyone was getting like sexually assaulted,
right,
getting
right.
water thrown on them. And my little sister is on the Rockefeller street team, so you know I'm going extra hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're like walking three blocks up. I'm like, yo, we're gonna walk up Madison. They're like, the parade's not on Madison. I'm like, no, that's what we're doing. Fall in line. And we get to the end of the, we're walking and people are cheering like we're somebody.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, I watch them. I'm just like, hey, Rockefeller, y'all.
Yeah.
We get to the end of the parade and there's like a scuffle because some guy's trying to offer Noriega $6,000 to freestyle battle him on like 86th Street. And they won't leave Nori alone. And like Nori's calling his goons. Everyone's like, nah, you scared of my man. My man's going to roast you with that freestyle, Nori.
It was Rock La Familia versus
it
the
was
Latin
Rock
Kings.
It was lit. It was lit. I listen, I don't want to die for a song off the Nutty Professor soundtrack.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
That's a good song to die for.
Yeah. You do or you do not have a Hey Poppy t-shirt to this day?
My father has one.
Wow.
My father, if you go to Florida, my father has every Rockefeller promo shirt that's ever. He has one.
Wears them or stores them?
Actively wears them. He wears a Memphis Bleak for President one.
That's
you guys
dope.
Remember that? He wears a in-store soon, a Mill.
Oh, my God.
A Chris John shirt. He doesn't know who any of these people are, but he knows they're free t-shirts. So shout out to you for keeping hip-hop alive,
that's,
Dad.
That's amazing.
What promo t-shirts do you have?
Now I have No Bitch Ass Ness,
yep.
Sean John.
Yep.
I
feel
know.
Like we had Shauna ones.
Well, the Shauna ones that we had were... So our oldest friends in the industry are Young Sav and Steve-O.
Right.
And they used to run Street Team for Def Jam.
Yes.
Young Sav is now the MMG vice president, and Steve-O is now the head of CTE Jeezy's label.
Okay.
And he works over at Def Jam as an A&R. Those guys, when we first visited them, they're like, oh, we got some shit for you. And we're like, dope. This is going to be awesome. Like, We go to Def Jam and we leave with something. They gave us triple or like four times XL Shauna t-shirts for her first album. Yeah. Do not have that anymore. But what do I have now? I don't know.
What's the biggest? Do you remember Shauna was in a group before that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I worked for Relativity Records for that and I was arrested. At a Chico DeBarge album release party.
What?
Shout out to The General, who was one of the largest promo, like, he ran Mad Street Teams and stuff. And what happened was, I was with a group from Brooklyn, and I saw the cops go by, and I was like, yo, Jake. They were from Brooklyn, they had never heard the term Jake before. So they didn't know what
I meant. I just would have thought you meant, like, a Jewish kid.
Right. Yeah. So, next thing I know, the cops are up on us, and we're, like, in the back, we're cuffed on a quality of life thing. And I ended up having to go to the court for it, but Relativity Records paid for it. And then they were just like, here's some mad free CDs. And so, I was like, I want your CDs, man.
Why did you go to Relativity? Was that like the Fat Joe thing? What was it?
I wanted to get into hip hop so bad. Mm-hmm. I used to write to company. I see them in the Source magazine.
Yeah, right.
And I would write letters to them right off of whatever the recording label. The mailing address like, was.
Big fan.
Be like, no, I want to be on you. How do I get on your street team? And I remember I used to write to BMG, mm-hmm. all these companies. And Relativity hit me back, and Relativity was like, yo, be here at 5 o'clock. And I was like, it's lit. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I go there. I don't sign any paperwork. Don't give any social security number, no contact, emergency contact, or nothing. They just give me mad fucking stickers, and they're like, here, go on the West Side Highway, you dick, and put these up. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Because you know how cool it is when you're in high school, and you come like, yo, I haven't gotten sleep in 3 days, but yo, here's a Busy Bone sticker, yeah, mom. Yeah. And she's like, yo, he's in the industry. Or like, in the Rockefeller offices, all I wanted to do was like, call whatever chick I was messing with.
Yeah.
And make the Rockefeller name come up on her call ID. You know what that did to them?
Oh my God.
They thought I was there with Hove on the boat. Like, that was lit. That was, you couldn't beat that as a teenager.
No, but instead you were like running through the streets with Noriega.
It was just not cool at all.
But yo, in that girl's mind though, it was like Jay and Ty Ty and Lenny S.
And me.
And Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus, like before Memphis. You know what I mean? Out there. Memphis going out for like the Bloomin' Onion and I'm still in the office. Like,
Do you have any tips for street teamers out there trying to make their hustle today?
Don't. Yeah. Because the internet has erased the need for a street team.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Like, now you're just... Listen, street team was basically an internship back before we were honest about what internships were.
Yep.
About this is not going to help your life. This is slave labor.
Yep, right.
But you might get, like, a free sandwich at the end.
Mm-hmm. Or your dad might get a free t-shirt.
A free t-shirt. Or, like, a free CD that you could download yourself.
Well, let's be clear. Rockefeller Records was not paying for your subway ride down to
they
wherever you were going, right?
They had to pay out of
your subway sandwich.
They weren't paying for anything.
Okay.
They weren't paying... We went to Summer Jam and they didn't even buy us tickets. We had to stay in the parking lot.
Really?
But at least
it was
you got so much fun. Oh, to the Summer Jam.
Until they started throwing bottles.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Well, people should understand that Summer Jam, maybe not now as much, but for a long time,
the
party
biggest,
really was in the parking lot.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a video in the parking lot.
We did. So Miss Info asked us to provide some content a couple years ago for Summer Jam. And we ran around doing interviews. And then we're like, let's just go into the parking lot and do...
We did Summer Jam's Got Talent. Summer Jam Parking Lot's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And so there was a guy who was like driving around in a stretch maroon like limo.
Right.
Okay. On rims.
Which he...
On hydraulics, actually.
Yeah, hydraulics. And he offered to rent that out to us. He came in there blaring... Weed and Boys.
Yep. Hey.
Yeah. And he called himself the King of New York, right?
Yeah.
What was his name? I don't remember.
Something that Foot the Mayor?
Foot for Mayor.
Right.
Foot for Mayor.
Foot for Mayor. 26-inch rims, like really like was living
He said facts a lot. That's how I remember him.
Facts.
But like, yeah, I mean,
Mickey
just...
Facts.
Mickey Facts.
Rockefeller.
Took it back. Like, even Mickey Facts gonna hear this is gonna be like, oh yeah, that's right. I was Rockefeller. Wow, throwback.
But he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. He just said he was, which is a great, great strategy.
There was a point where you could just name a record label and be like, I'm on it. And we really didn't have the internet like that, so there was no fact checking. So people were just like, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, there was no Mickey Facts checking.
Remember, like, Sauce Money. Like, that naturally, you assumed Sauce Money was on Rockefeller, but he never was on
Rockefeller. No, he wasn't. How big was your high school graduating class?
It's pretty big. It was a New York City high school, so it was pretty big.
So what percentage would you guess were, like, rapping in high school?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
All of us. I was in a rap group in high school.
What was your rap name?
My rap name was Stanley Cups.
Stanley Cups.
Wow. Based off of Wu Gambino's. Yo, shout out to my man G Steel, a.k.a. the Iron Eagle. He was G Steel, GS. I was Stanley Cups, SC. Those are two models of Lexuses.
Wow.
So we were the Lex Brothers. We had a breakout hit called Papayas and Peep Shows. Based off, we was cut school, go to Papayas. papayas on 8th Street, buy vinyl, and then never go to the peep show because we were like wild corny. But that was the single, and it rocked for like a week. Had it out on Kazaa Records. You guys remember that?
Wow.
We were out there, and girls was like, yo, do a full album. We was like, yo, chill, bro.
So, yo,
you're
by
not
the
doing
way,
it to get money.
People listening to this don't know what Kazaa is.
No idea. You kids missed out, man. Yeah. You don't know what fun it is to download an MP3 and just get a virus.
Right.
Just because, all because you want to hear Smiles and South Star.
I downloaded a version of Eminem Cleaning Out My Closet.
Right.
And then it would repeat every single time. It would go, one more time. Mm-hmm. And it was just me. I'm sorry, mom.
And it was just like someone would just like paste like just a random DMX album vocals over like a TLC track.
Yeah, that was the craziest.
And it wasn't like on the same speed, the right. same frequency, the
nope.
same pitch.
Nope.
But it was just like here. And you're just like, oh, well, that file is 524 at 192K. This one right here is 2 minutes at 128. I know which one I'm downloading.
Yeah. And the worst was all the MP3s that were like labeled with a million different rap features.
Yes. Yep. R. Kelly, yeah. DMX, Tupac, Aaliyah,
Ja
Left
Rule.
Eye, Not a Blend, Original. It's like, no, they never were all in the studio at the same time. This is you made this up.
That's why when the game One Blood remix with a million people on why it was like very suspicious. But
it was like, I've been hurt before. I need to see some. A hip hop site has to say this is a real thing. I'm not downloading this.
Yo, by the way, when that came out, you were hurt in a different way.
I know, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's like 30 minutes of.
Like, you knew it was going to be bad, but it was just like. No. And we kind of got a taste with that. We remember the Holla Holla remix?
With Jay?
No, with Jay, Memphis Bleak,
yep, right.
Black Star, Black Child, everyone up. Yeah. And it was like two.
Every
it was like,
murdering person.
And it was just like, who? No one asked for this.
Yeah.
And the game was like,
some of us are really big Cadillac Ta fans.
Yeah. What happened to Ringtone Rap? Can we bring. No, let's not. Let's not.
Wait, hold on.
Sorry, I even mentioned that.
No. Now that we're on it. What was your ringtone?
What was my ringtone? I think because I'm up in the Bronx.
Yep.
It was Young Guns, Do or Die Nigga.
Wow.
Off of the Pete Rock EP when they were beating the shit out of him.
Wow.
Did you ever have the ring back?
Yeah.
No, that was a little advanced. That was a little. I didn't pay my bill regularly enough to have that feature on my phone.
For those people who don't know, because a lot of people don't know what Kazaa is.
Because you're young.
The ring back was you could call someone and instead of hearing like the actual you would hear like the Monday Night Football theme,
or you would hear like D4L,
like you know, Purple Pills by D12, or Let Me Know by Cam, you know, just
until
whatever.
They picked up, and it was just like,
and it was just confusing because you were like, is that your voicemail? It's like, no, it's just waiting music, and I decide if I'm gonna pick the phone up.
Yeah, so. Did you ever have a stupid like voicemail that you like recorded yourself to try to trick your friends, or like you thought you were funnier, and it was like a music lyric or something?
Did you ever think you were funny?
No. You know what's funny? I never, like, seriously, I never really considered myself funny until maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before
when the internet told you you were.
Yeah. It was just like, well, if the internet says it, fuck it. It must be true. But before that, I was just like, no. I guess I'm borderline annoying. I make a couple people chuckle, but.
Well, did your family think you were funny?
No, my family thinks I am one of the corniest individuals on earth.
To this day.
We just hung out in Florida, and the thing is, my sisters are almost as funny as me. Almost. So it's kind of neck for neck, but when you go outside that arena, because everyone's like really quick and says really hurtful things, which is a lot of my comedy, just hurtful, funny shit, and they'll do it. And so when you see them do it, it's like, oh, this isn't as unique.
Right.
When I do it in the regular world, everyone's like, bravo, here, come on our NPR panel. So.
What's the maddest that somebody has been on the internet? About you, something that you said.
The Beatles stuff, definitely. The Beatles stuff is just like I've had people unfollow
me. What, with like
me.
White people?
Probably.
Okay.
I've had black people that's like, what's your deal with the Beatles? Like, have you ever listened to them?
Have
like,
you ever listened to them?
I have Beatles music on my phone that I listen
is
to
it your
ironically.
But
okay. You know, it's just, it's funny how mad people get. Like, when you slaughter the throat of a sacred cow, like,
right,
people take it a certain way. And the Beatles, it's just, I'll just be sitting there and I'll see like they'll be like, oh, like a couple weeks ago they were like, Paul McCartney says there are unreleased Beatles songs that have been lost, and I'm just like, wow, if I tweet this out I'm gonna be a huge asshole, and then I just tweet out, well, let them stay lost, and people are just like, fuck you Jesus, you don't know good music, you listen to the Migos, you're a piece of shit, I'm following you, but they don't want to follow, and just like do like 15 tweets.
Yeah.
I'm not reading, dude. I'm not. You gonna do like a fucking thesis about like why I'm not listening
a
to the
Beatles? A thesis about Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I'm not listening to it. Like, come on, I'm not reading this shit. I'm scrolling past. I'm laughing. And the rest of the internet is laughing with me. And
yeah.
Funny games.
We're not verified on Twitter. What was it like getting that blue check?
Listen, that was one of the most disappointing days ever.
Why is that?
Because if you go back and you just look for... I've been on Twitter for years. Yeah. And it's like, yo, Twitter, verify me.
Yeah.
Yo, Twitter, when I'm getting verified. Yo, Twitter, what up with that verification? By the time it came, nothing changed.
Nothing.
Nothing changed. The only thing that happens now is people every now and then is like, why do you have a blue check? That's it. And I mean, that's a totally... Like, every now and then I'll come across someone and I'm just like, why do you have a blue check?
Right.
Right.
Or they'll respond to me and Twitter's like, oh, Sabrina Cat responded to you, and I'm just like, who? And she's like, I'm the number one R&B star in Albania. And I'm like, well, now we're just giving out blue checks.
But what an honor.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I you were funny. I was like, who are you?
You get that notification, like the push notification.
They give, like, Twitter does this whole, oh, other verified people laughed at your thing. And I'm just like, no one cares.
Have you been to any, like, club that, like, verified people can only get into?
No. That would be the loser.
Wait, what
club.
Is that?
That would be the loser.
I'm trying to think of something.
Like,
some...
Scores East?
Scores East.
Verification on Twitter is not what it seems, because people are just like, yo, like, I saw someone today, like, some huge star, and was like, yo, verify this person. I was like, why? Why would you want to do that to their life?
Right.
Verification has nothing. The more followers you have on Twitter, the worse your Twitter experience is.
You, even yours.
Mine is complete shit.
Why now?
Because anything past, I want to, now, and this sounds insane, anything past 10,000 followers,
yep,
is just a pain in the ass.
So,
because what happens is you have people that don't necessarily know your humor,
right?
And they don't know the in jokes and the callbacks.
Right. Sure.
So now they expect a certain dynamic from you with every tweet. Every tweet has to be fucking, if I have stitches in my stomach, bust the stitches, funny.
Yep.
That kind of shit. And it's just like, I can't do a tweet like, oh my God, the train's late. People are just like, dude, that's not funny. I come here for jokes. It's like, dog, I've been tweeting. This is my life. And now my personal Twitter account is now just like a corporate Twitter account, basically. Like, I'm tweeting out.
You are a hamburger helper.
I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm expecting to get that Jezebel article about, like, why am I stealing African-American vernacular English, you know? And it's just like people expect things from you, and they don't. And then I get a lot of people, like, explain this tweet. And I'm just like, no.
I saw somebody was like, yo, what is bookings?
Yeah. That I've actually held off on that because every week people are like, what is bookings? But they'll retweet the tweet. And I'm just like, if you don't know what it is, don't retweet it. Like,
yo,
and I explained it, but it's just but and then once you explain it, it's not
it
funny
nice
anymore.
To have like a blind following, just like whatever you say, it's like yes. Like it's almost like a cult.
It is a cult, but then the problem is when all it takes is one person to misinterpret a tweet and it could easily go from just, hey, I didn't understand that tweet versus, hey, here's my Pitchfork article about why Jesus is a terrible person and we need to stop following him. And people start pushing up old tweets that I did when I had 25 followers and it was an in-joke between me and my friends. And now I'm just the worst human on earth.
Right. They give you that.
You are Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah handled that terribly. Like, he really should have just came out like, yo, those tweets I made in 2008,
yep,
I made those in 2008.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to be hosted a Daily Show. I'm sorry.
He should have done the Iggy Azalea defense.
Yes, come on. Stand by your old tweets, man.
So, you, like, essentially, like, Twitter is what really made you. How do you explain that to, like, extended family members?
I can't. Okay. I can't. Especially because a lot of my extended family is in England where Twitter isn't big and they don't have MTV2.
Right.
So they are completely baffled by my Facebook page. Yeah. And they're just like, hey, you were hanging with Cameron.
Yeah.
Did he come to your job? I'm like, no, that is my job. Like, I'm on TV. Well, I can't watch that because Viacom has blocked this in England.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's not
By
me.
The way, there are workarounds.
There are. But the time when you are explaining to your auntie how to use a VPN and to, like, hide her IP address, she's just looking at you and smiling and nodding her head because she's not doing all that. She's 86
She just wants
degrees.
To know why.
She,
like,
snuck out of Jamaica back in 1940. Yeah. Like, she's not doing all this to see your show. And then when you do that build-up, and someone's, like, paid for a VPN address to watch, illegally watch your show, and then they see it, they're like, oh, Charlemagne, Miro. Didn't you have a podcast where it was, like, half an hour of just you? Now you're on TV for 3 minutes? It's like, well, you know, that's broadcast cable, though. You know, I'm big in Iowa.
In high school, you're running around for Relativity. You're running around for Rockefeller.
Yes.
What's the next move in your eyes at that point to get into the music industry? What did you want to do in the music industry?
I just, you know what? Because my experience at Rockefeller was just so weird. Like, I remember there was a time, it was me, hip hop, and my little sister, and we're sitting there. And this guy comes in, and he's just like, yo, I'm going to play some beats to you, hip hop. And I'm just like, all right. He was, producer for Common.
Really? No ID?
No ID.
I was like, Kanye West.
And no ID's playing these beats. And I'm like, he just had dropped a solo album that was just like his beat. So I forgot the name of it. It's like some long existential artistic name. Great album. Loved it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I know that guy. That's No ID.
Yeah.
And he's playing it. And hip hop is like, yo, this is fresh. I like these beats. And then Jay comes in. And Jay is giving out copies of DJ Clue's Backstage soundtrack. Because that movie had just come out.
Yeah.
And Jay gives it to me, and it's like, yo, dog, I just downloaded this illegally last night. But I'm going to take it. Who am I to tell Jay-Z, sorry, I downloaded this illegally. I'm not taking it.
He
CD.
Didn't know he had a distribution deal with Kazaa Records.
He didn't know. Yo, shout out to what is it, RNS, Ego, CMS, all the MP3 groups.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, yo, this is mad cool. I'm like, yo, that's Jay-Z right there. That's hip-hop. There's no idea. I'm like, I feel I have a ear for this. And it was just like, from what I saw of, like, the whole hip, like, even the hip, Rockefeller wasn't treated properly.
Yeah.
Like, I remember we were trying to get CDs out the building, and the lobby guard was like, you don't have a building pass to take these CDs out. And it was, like, Memphis Bleak promos. Like, we made them.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a Saturday. I'm just like, dog, like, this is a huge record company. And even little stuff like that, I saw that. And it just, that kind of turned me off the music industry completely.
Yeah.
So after working at Rockefeller, I just stopped working in the hip-hop industry.
Okay, so music's out.
Music out.
What's the goal at that point?
The goal at that point is just to get a job where I don't want to blow my brains out every day.
It wasn't like, okay, you need to sit down with the Lex boys.
No, the Lex brothers is done. My man G still, he had moved on. He was DJing. By now, I was doing my computer thing.
Yeah.
I was in RNS, the MP3 ripping
group. Yep. Oh, you really were?
I really was. Yeah. I leaked Cameron's SDE. If you go look at the info file, it says clear as day, Jesus.
Really?
There's, it's on my Instagram, too. I have the info file saved.
Wait, I hope you didn't bring up a Cam the other day.
Like, but you know what? He can't get mad at that. He can't get. We had comments.
I don't know. I just watched Killer Season, and he shoots 11,000 people in the movie.
What's funny, we had common friends, and I remember, like, I used to, like, my last year of high school, like, I never went to class. I would just hang on, like, 110th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do all day is, like, get high and listen to No Limit.
Yeah.
Like, we thought TRU was just, like, the greatest shit ever, and Moby Dick was, like, DJ Premier's ass. So,
what are your thoughts on Silk the Shocker?
Silk the Shocker is one of the greatest rappers ever.
What about...
It's just, no. It's just the beats don't keep up with it. That's all. His verse on Maya, that was that song, the remix. Remember he had that song with Maya? What was it? And he was like, are those my panties? My panties are 20... Whatever. Was great.
Do you go deep into, like, Mr. Servon's catalog?
Mr. Servon, Mia X.
Mia X.
Like, I was in New Orleans. And I saw a guy. They had, like, a Recipe Soulja Slim. And I was like, yo, I'm home. Love this shit. Jim Jones would come through. First person I ever seen with a doobie selling illegal cigarettes. And it just that was New York at that point.
Yeah.
And we'd, like, maybe go into, like, Times Square and, like, shoplift in porno stores.
Yeah,
like, Cardan.
Oh, so
we were out there.
Wow.
We were out there.
Wow.
Like, you went from not going to the peep stores, right?
And now, going to the peep stores. Yeah. Like, you know, like, hopping the turnstile 42nd Street, but you knew the DTs was there, so you had to wait.
Yep.
You know, like, all that. Just dumb, young New York stuff that will never exist again. And, like, I look at it, and I'm just like, wow, I was right there. Like, the time I was at Cheetah, and Jim Jones got thrown out.
Man. Yep.
And, like,
he's been throwing out everything.
He's been throwing out everything. And I just remember his hair was wild.
Yeah.
He had, like, a red blood bandana on his Timberland.
Yeah.
Like, security physically picked him up and carried him out.
There's video of that.
Yes.
You have video of that.
I put it up the other
day. Yeah,
because the guy that he was yelling at, Derek Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Derek Harper.
Okay,
Derek Harper is for the Knicks.
Yeah,
I think his name actually might be Derek Harper. He was a security guard. He was also NYPD. He started the Hip Hop Cops.
Oh, yes. Right.
Derek Parker.
Okay.
And Parker. And, like, I met him and he was mad cool. And his idea for what, like, it sounds crazy. His idea what the Hip Hop Cops should have been is completely different than what NYPD did. It was supposed to be, like, a liaison to actually interact with the cop.
Okay.
Interact
like
with the rappers.
Zulu Nation.
Rappers wouldn't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it just turned into, hey, easy arrest. Just Fabulous. Let's arrest Fabulous.
Right. Yeah. Well, Fabulous is a threat.
He is.
I should say it to the camera.
What Fabulous has done to the spelling of Fabulous is literally a con. How many times have you been working on, you have Microsoft Office open and you're like, Fabulous. You're like, F-A-B-O-L-O-U. Damn. It's not the right one.
By the way, you're talking to two hip hop sketch comedians who do not use Microsoft Office.
Listen, you have to. When people ask you for an invoice, come on.
That is true.
See, I know the life. I've been there, guys. I know the struggle.
The worst is when publications won't pay you for the longest time. They're like, well, you didn't add the date to the...
Yeah.
I'm like,
where's
I
the
sent
invoice?
It to you.
I'm like, dog, you saw me. I was in the office. Why do I have to... Oh, you got to do an invoice. I'm like, you're a print magazine or you have printers. Print me an invoice and just send it to me.
Yo, and now, by the way, after years of this, I have... We're skinny Jewish guys, mm-hmm. right? I have no problem running up on
You got to run up in the office.
No problem.
You have to run up in,
like,
the office.
I think that I'm in Dipset. Like, just, like,
just
same
Cam,
attitude.
Yeah.
I will
you get
tear
fine
shit off
30 thou every time you mention them.
No problem.
Go in.
No problem doing that. Just
listen,
knocking shit off.
Pay your freelancers, man. You ran the articles. I don't care if it only got 30 hits. Pay us, man.
before Twitter begins, you are settling into a job that makes you want to blow your head off.
That was, you know what, that was towards the end, because I was working in nightclubs and stuff. Okay. But that, the job I took when I got big on Twitter,
yeah,
was literally like, I have no other options. Like, I can't.
Where'd you find it?
My sister.
The back of the source.
No, my sister basically, like, my sister saw I needed a job, and like, she knew someone, and was just like, yo, look out for my brother, because I feel like he's about to go the wrong way. Because I, at that point, I'm like, yo, what's up? Who got a brick? Brick, let's. I gotta pay my rent somehow.
Sure.
And my sister was like, no, here's a job, here's a magazine.
Are
like,
you still living in the Bronx at that point?
Yes. Still living in the same apartment. Can't pay my rent.
Okay.
I'm ducking my landlord. Like, yeah. I see him outside. I'm going behind the car until he like goes to sort the garbage, and I'm swinging.
Wow. You're on some Ace Ventura shit.
Ace Ventura. Con Edison stops sending the friendly, hey, did you miss a payment? To, yo, we know where you live.
Yo, what's the best like excuse like to come up with when you're in that scenario there? Like, why it's late?
When your parents died and you're taking care of them.
How many times did your parents die?
Both of them died. Yeah. Because what happens is you're feeling on human emotion, and they're like, damn, I want to throw you out. But you're just going, and especially, it helps a lot.
Yeah.
I had never missed a rent payment for like, 4 years, like never late, right. Always on time.
I got a lot of credit early, built up there,
credibility, and then things just went really bad. I couldn't pay my rent, and my landlord was like, "Yo," he was like, "Hey, Jesus, hey, que no que, you know, pay is late. The residents, I ain't trouble with the money." So I'm just like, "Yo, dog, my mother, blah blah, she's going through things. I'm gonna get it to you." And you know, you got 3 months in New York City before you go to housing court.
Yeah,
and then you could go to housing court if you tell the judge. My mother, you get another 3 months.
Yo, you
and you can repeat that. That's a knowledge dart, y'all. This ain't DVM, but that's a knowledge dart.
You thought that through.
Listen, yeah. My father used to be a landlord.
Oh, okay.
So he would always complain that people did that to him. And I'm like,
and
oh.
So now you were just like,
oh, you become that guy.
Listen.
Yeah, the student becomes the teacher, becomes the student.
Exactly.
Again.
I snatched the pebble.
Yeah.
I'm out there.
So, okay. So you're in this like real bad state right now.
Real bad state.
And your sister hooks you up with the job.
She hooks me up with the job. Well, I go there, and they're just like right away, I know the job is not for me. And, you know, like, I have pride. And I'm like, I want to be a creator. And
right.
And then, like, in the back of my head, it's like, yo, you owe so much money to so many different people. Like, take this job.
Yeah.
And I just remember my, like, at the last minute in the job, they were just like, yo, can you do Final Cut Pro? And I'm like, yeah. I've never opened Final Cut Pro in a day of my life.
Yo, Microsoft Office, though.
Office. I got you on deck. I got templates on deck, dog.
But Microsoft Office has Clippy. Does Final Cut Pro have a Clippy?
No. Final Cut Pro just has, like, an icon pops up like, yo, you fucked up. You are so in over your head right now, aren't you? And I'm just like, tutorial. Where's the tutorial? How do you start a new... Like, when you are Googling how to open a film clip in Final Cut Pro, you are so in over your head. So, and my boss is just like, yo, here's like 8 episodes. I need you to digitally edit these, put these watermarks on them, release them every Tuesday for Wells Fargo. And I'm just like.
And so you're just like,
I'm like, so where's the start button on this version of Windows? So I'm just like completely in over my head. And the job just gets worse every day. And I have just the worst quotas. And my boss isn't checking my articles, but I have to write the articles anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like on Twitter. And it's the same. You know, I have maybe. If I even have 200 followers, the same people that have been following me since I've been a bouncer at a nightclub.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, well, I'm in office now. And it's just getting traction because everything I was going through, everyone else apparently was going through. Terrible PowerPoint presentations. Going to a meeting and you're about to get out of the meeting and someone puts up their hand like, hey, I have a question. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, you've been here for 3 hours. Just your boss just fuck with you. And then I remember one time they were just like, yo, we don't have your paychecks. Oh. Everyone in the office is like, oh, that's cool. They were like, we got your paychecks on Wednesday. And I was like,
nah,
sweating. I was like, that's not cool. Opposite. This is why people shoot up offices. Like, I'm not here to make friends. And, like, everyone's real cool. And we leave, and this guy punches the wall and puts a hole in the wall.
Yo.
He's like, I have a mortgage. I have kids. And I'm just like, yeah. Revolution is starting. And I go over to him. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, are you about to bounce? He's like, nah, I'm going to be honest with you, Jesus. I've been here 12 years. They do this every so often. And I'm just like, wow. And in my head, I'm just like, I don't want to be one of these people.
Yeah.
Like, there was a decision I had to make where it was like, yo, do you want to get in line with this corporate environment, or my famous tweet, do I want to let the light from the bridges I burn guide my way? I burned every fucking bridge in that company. like every, I used to leave that company to go record Jesus vs. Mero.
Yeah.
And we had to wear a suit every day. at that company. So I'd be like walking down Fifth Avenue, taking off my tie and my suit, smoking like a clip of a blunt, sipping a Limerita, go in there and just put all my frustrations out on DVM.
Man.
And like I'd come back from recording DVM, I'd look at my phone, there's like 3 missed calls because my boss is like, you're not at your desk. And yeah. I'd come back and I'd be like, oh, I went to the DMV and I left my phone. And my boss is like, oh, okay, well, whatever. You have to do another article today. And
what you were doing that. In the middle of the day?
Doing in the middle of the fucking day.
That's Monday, amazing.
Every so Monday.
How long did you juggle this, like, two-jobs sort of situation?
We did, what was it, 7 or 8 audio-only episodes of DVM? Yep.
Yeah.
And then one day Complex was like, oh, we want to do TV. And I was like, do video. And I was like, fuck. Because I knew when I signed on to this magazine, not using their name because I don't want to give them any shine.
Right.
Yeah. One of my contract requirements of, like, signing up to be employed by them was any video I do while I'm employed by them, they own.
Really?
So in theory, they could have made a claim for DVM, and they would have been 100% in the right because they're very litigious. Like, that's all they did was sue people.
So we should hope that they're not watching this right now.
Here's the thing, though. It got to the point, and I had to sit there one day, and I was like, dog, do I try to do DVM and stay employed by the place, or do I just believe in myself and realize, like, this is going to take me so much further in life mm-hmm. and just jump out the window like
good for
the
you.
Maker of Ether,
yeah.
Ron Brown, shout
yep.
out to
yep. and shout out to Ron Brown.
Jump
yeah.
in out the window. And I just went in. I did my 2 weeks notice letter. I didn't even put it. That's the thing. People on Twitter were like waiting for me to live tweet me quitting, and I didn't live tweet. I just very quietly, I just went.
It's sort of a shame that you did this all before Periscope existed. You
know? How great would that have been?
Oh, man.
And the thing was,
or just like a 600, you know, second Snapchat.
Snapchat. Yeah. And they didn't believe I was leaving. They were just like, no, you'll be back because everyone comes back. And I was like, no, I'm out. Like,
yo, but now you should go back just to sort of like stunt on it.
Yeah. Well, no, to finish your job.
What's funny is apparently
you should finish those videos.
My boss now takes credit for her. Like, she's like, oh, I knew he would be great from like, the jump. I was like, you listen. Yeah. My boss knows if I see her on the street, like, we're shooting a fair one.
Really?
We're gonna, it's World Star Hip Hop.
Like, does she have a nice, like, right?
No, hook? She doesn't. No. Like, she has a weak chin. And I'm okay. Exploit it.
Yo, but you could punch jaw. You could punch
glass jaw.
You could punch a nice hole in a wall,
just
though.
Just Geno Smith her. Yep. Just bring her down.
We just have to take a second to interrupt Deezus so we can acknowledge our friends at Warby Parker.
Warby Parker is making big changes to the eyewear industry with glasses that are made with the same high-quality materials sold in boutique shops. They're available at revolutionary prices, and they are styled after classic vintage frames.
Now, my vision isn't the greatest. Yours is very good. We both wear Warby Parker and have for years.
Yes, our mother wears them, our brother wears them. We love Warby Parker.
And we actually just had a great shopping experience at the 82nd and Lexington location in New York City.
This week, we dealt with Olivia and Garth, who couldn't have been any nicer or any more helpful.
You walked out of the store with sunglasses. I got my prescription frames coming in the mail to me soon. And now you might be wondering if you can try Warby Parker stylish frames for free. Well, the answer is yes. With Warby Parker's free home try-on program, just go to warbyparker.com/itsthereal. Choose 5 pairs of glasses, and Warby sends them to you so you can try them on.
They include a special frame box and prepaid shipping label for easy return. Then simply choose the frames you want, enter your prescription details if needed, and Warby Parker takes care of the rest.
And for every pair of glasses you purchase, Warby Parker sends a pair to someone in need because they partner with nonprofits like Vision Spring,
which is pretty awesome. Warby makes buying glasses fun, fast, easy, and pain-free. Plus, with the low price and wide selection of styles, you can own several pairs to match however you're feeling, just like a hat or shoes.
So give Warby Parker a try for a stylish new pair of prescription glasses or sunglasses at warbyparker.com/itsthereal. Get the free home try-on and get 3-day free shipping on your final frame purchase. That's warbyparker.com/itsthereal.
Hey guys, you know what time it is. You like making money, right? Well, here's a really cool opportunity that Jeff and I had to share with you, driving with Uber.
Yes, Uber is that popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. I take Uber a bunch. I love them. And in chatting with the different drivers, some of them have really interesting stories as to why they drive with Uber.
We had an interesting story this week. We went to a concert that we really didn't want to go to, but management sent an Uber XL anyway, and that was the only way that we were willing to go down there. We got in the car, and the guy's name?
King Larry.
King Larry was his first name, but he couldn't have been any nicer. He was asking if we were comfortable, had waters, the whole thing.
He said, navigation's good, but it can never outdo the human mind.
Mm. Word of King Larry.
Word of King Larry. And we got to talking to King Larry, who said that he loves being his own boss. He earns great money. It's easy to start. You just need a car and a license. Driving with Uber is great for anyone who needs flexibility, and for parents, it's a really easy way to work around your family's schedule. Students can make some extra money between classes, and now is the prime time to cash in driving with Uber. You will thank us for telling you how to get paid every week. I could be getting into your car when you drive with Uber.
As long as your name is King Larry. You've got a car and a license. Put them both to work for you and start earning serious life-changing money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com.
Drivewithuber.com.
You get big on Twitter.
Big on Twitter.
You get verified on Twitter.
I get verified on Twitter.
What's the craziest brand that's sort of like come your way?
You know what? I used to do work for porn sites before. Like this is in that.
You might need to like rewind.
Yeah. Yeah. So after like I guess this is after like Relativity and before the nightclubs. Like I used to do like freelance work for porn sites like Evil Angel, Sunshine, like all these wild companies.
How are you freelancing?
We would do front end encryption, like
forms, nerd stuff,
stuff for CC Bill. Yeah. But also like, we would go further on.
You make it sound so sexy, then you're just like, what we were doing.
Well, what happened was because you did such a good job on the CC Bill forms, they'd be like, could you do this? Could you do this? Could you retouch these photos? Mm-hmm. Could you provide like this encryption program for the directories? Could you fly out to the valley and now we're all gonna have lunch at a conference, and I get into an argument with Vanessa Blue about WordPress handling image distribution via a heavily trafficked post on Apache. So
that's like, and this is like not at all the same, but that's like when we got a 30-minute conversation with Spliffstar about global warming.
I didn't know who Vanessa Blue was.
Well, now you do.
I went back up to my room and I googled her and I was like, who is it? And I was like, oh, all right, wow. And
she keeps busy.
Were you ever invited to the AVN Awards?
You know what? I was, but I just did not have money to go. It's very expensive to go out there.
$600.
And I mean, but then you have a hotel room and all that stuff. And if the porn company's not paying for it, you're not going.
Yeah.
And the porn companies around that time were just kind of like, what were you paying for? Why are we bringing you out here? Like, you bring us traffic, but we could probably do this on our own. Mm. So that kind of dried up. But at the time, I remember I did so well with Evil Angel. They sent me a gift package at the end of the year, which was every DVD they released that year.
What?
Where do you put that?
Kazaa Records.
And you remember Evil Angel had the bright orange DVD cases.
Oh, my God.
So now your apartment just looks like the wild scumbag. It's like Big Sloppy Butt 7 and Big Angel Gappers 9 through 13. And a girl comes over and she's just like, I don't know what you have planned, but I'm leaving now. And you're like, no. Big ass Shemale Adventures 19. Like, I did the editing on that. Look.
Yeah, I know.
And just, she's like, I don't know what's going on here.
You should have flipped that to your landlord.
I couldn't, but he was fucking the lady across the hall.
What?
So that I had that as leverage.
You're like living in Melrose Place.
I was. Melrose Place. You know what? Quick shout out to Melrose Place. The black girl and the gay guy on Melrose Place never got any burn. Because me and my sister, we made like a chart of who was fucking who on Melrose Place. And the gay guy and the black girl, Vanessa Williams, not the Vanessa Williams we think it was.
Right.
They never hooked up.
Sister, yeah.
They never hooked up with anybody. So our chart was always like they had zeros in there in the big data.
You made a Melrose Place chart. You were way ahead of Grant.
Way ahead. Just making the data. Just big data is sexy.
Yeah, Shouts to Nate Silver.
He's gonna come with like a wild story that has nothing to do with this. That talks about like he went through some injustice. He's like, I was arrested during Melrose Place, but it was cool. It was lit. They let me watch the end.
Man, growing up in the Bronx in Melrose Place, do you have any good Terror Squad stories?
Do I have any? Okay. Fordham Road. I'm there to see Fat Joe. I go there after school. This is like high school, whatever. Yeah. Fat Joe is signing autographs. He's like, be there from 3 o'clock at Music Factory.
Right. Only licking the soles of shoes from like 3 to 4.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, Music Factory upstairs was like DJ equipment and jewelry, and downstairs was like vinyl and CDs, which if you think about that now, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Because
they sell music and stories,
because no one's buying vinyl anymore.
Right.
This is before Serato. So this is back when, like, if you were a DJ and you wanted 2 copies of Off the Books, you're paying for 2 vinyl copies of Off the Books.
Right.
And that's when you're just like, do I want to keep doing this? So we're there, and it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Fat Joe's nowhere to be found. He's stuck in traffic. And it's this big, fat, fucking Spanish guy is just like, yo, I'm signing the autographs if you want them. And I'm like, you're not Fat Joe. I'm not here to see you, sir, with the T-Rex arms. I don't know who you are. He's like, no, take this autograph. It's going to be worth money one day. And I was like, whatever. And he's just like, I was going by Daz by that time.
Daz.
But I had to change it because of
Daz Dillinger.
Exactly. So he signs it. He's like, yo, it's Daz. One love, BX. But big pun.
Big pun. Wow.
So I had a big pun autograph.
Do you still have it?
No, because
where'd it go?
My father, because he's from Jamaica and he's wild savage, one day, like in high school, he ripped up. I had all these posters on my wall of like signed from rappers, from like Tupac and stuff.
Yeah.
And he ripped them all up. And he left them on my bed.
Why?
Because my father's Jamaican. That's what Jamaican parents do. Immigrant parents do shit like that, and you don't know why. And they're like, "Yo, I basically risked my life to bring you to this country. And if you want to waste your shit with rappers, that's cool. But I need you to go to medical school." So
this sounds like a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon.
It was like an after school special. It was a lot. It was like
okay. All right. So one day in the future, when you have kids,
no,
are you going to become your father?
No, no. I'm going to be
whatever they want. You just rip it up and leave it. On
yeah,
your
I guess so. I guess that's it's character building. You kind of want your kids to hate you a little. That makes them like, you know. Yeah. I don't know. When I meet people who have really good relationships with their parents, it's like mind-blowing. Like, a lot of my drive and success is like driven at the based fact that I want to outdo my parents.
Wow.
And my parents are like, "Yo, I came to this country with a twig and a nickel.
Yeah.
And look what I've accomplished. What the fuck are you doing?" And you're just like,
"So you don't even have a twig."
I don't even have a twig.
if they never ripped down your posters and ripped up your Big Pun shit, you would have never been here today. Really?
Never.
That's the line.
My parents, they don't support, but they've always been like so unsupportive. It's kind of like support.
But now they support, right?
No, my mother, she saw the Charlamagne show for the first time last Friday.
Okay. Hated it.
And she looks at me and she goes, "You get paid for this?" This deadpan, just serious as shit. And I'm like, "I get paid well."
Yo.
And she's just like, I guess.
That's awesome.
Like, she doesn't respect it.
No, but
she doesn't respect it. Like, if I was like a doctor or some shit, she'd be like, "Oh, that's great."
No, of course. But what a great answer, though, for you.
Yeah.
You're like, I mean, it works. Get a lot.
Yeah, but like, what do I do in 4 years when she'll get cancer? Like, now I have nothing. Yeah. I'm working a C-town. She's like, "How's your little Charlemagne show doing?" I'm like, "Well, I don't have it anymore. And I have to get back stacking these cans or I'm getting fired."
That's when you pawn off all those DVDs now.
Yeah. They're gone already. They're gone.
Your dad couldn't rip those up.
He couldn't. And you can't even like. A porn DVD is not like a gift you can re-gift. Like, that's saying a lot about the person you're giving it to. Like, I don't know exactly what you're... What if I gave you, like, Strap-on Attack 7? Like, that's me doing a big judgment on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know if you're into that. Or are you into that?
But
like,
the fact that you think that I would be into that.
See?
Like,
I'm taking a shot in the dark.
It'd be the greatest scene.
That's the subtitle for Strap-on Attack.
Yeah, and it's just like
shot in the dark.
You know, you didn't see Strap-on Attack 6. You don't know the plot.
Yeah, no, I don't
that's
know if
true.
I have to catch
right.
up.
You got
to
catch on. You that's don't know fair. Like why she has phasers on the strap-on. Like you got to catch up. I don't want to be that guy. Regifting is very hard.
It is really hard.
Have you ever been to a girl's house and she has outside and clearly displayed a collection of porn? It's a game changer.
No, I have not.
I have. And it's just... And
which girl?
She's Vanessa Blue. Yeah. No. You know, it's funny. This girl, like, she is married now. She lives in, like...
Congratulations.
The girl
Reading,
you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, she lives in Reading, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. She is the wild conservative Christian right now.
Oh, cool.
No, but...
She was
who's
the biggest...
she voting for?
She is the... Like, right now, she's definitely going for Trump. That's what I know from her Facebook. She was the wildest party girl I've ever met in New York City. I mean, like, doing coke off people's titties.
Yeah.
And now she's, you know, she came to God and she, you know,
oh, she went that way?
She went that way. She's on reverse. Usually,
it's
the other way.
So. You also went to high school with Chris Hayes.
I did. I get asked that on every,
I'm sure.
every podcast.
I mean, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. People, you know what? It's fascinating. Like even for me to think about.
Well,
it,
to be fair, we're not asking you about. We're telling you.
You're telling me.
Yeah,
I respect it.
Yeah. But so you went to school with the wild, like crazy girl who ended up being conservative.
No, she was. That was college. That was.
Oh,
different.
I'm sorry. Okay,
but
gotcha,
Chris
gotcha.
Hayes. That was. I went to school with Chris Hayes from second grade until eighth grade.
How much cocaine off of girls' asses did Chris Hayes do?
Yeah. Not much, but Chris Hayes, can I tell you, he has a great throwing arm. He used to be the quarterback every morning.
Oh, really?
We used to play tackle football on a tennis court, a hard tennis court in Co-op City. People used to get concussions.
See, that builds character.
That builds character. Like, you know what it's like to hit your head very hard on the ground?
Chris Hayes does.
And not shake your head and just go to class and just walk it off like a man?
It builds characters, but it also breaks down memories. So.
Listen, that's what the NFL is about.
I've seen 60 Minutes,
Whose life gets ruined by a concussion?
Yo.
I mean,
I haven't met anybody.
Have you been watching Ballers on HBO?
I don't have HBO.
Oh, but you don't know anyone with
an
HBO Go account?
I don't.
Come on.
I don't. No. I have not been in a relationship with a woman that's trusting me enough to give me her HBO.
No, but it
Go
doesn't have to. It could be like friends. Everyone's got a friend who has it.
It could be a landlord.
All my friends watch Power, and I just found out what that was like a week ago. So.
Right, which is 50 Cent's show.
Yeah, it's like it's really black. Like,
it's
a little too black for me. Like, I feel like I'm not in that part of my life now. Like, okay. I want to eat sushi.
Do you like Empire?
No, I
hate Empire.
Yo, it's the worst. So we're good.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And Charlamagne tried to drum me out of black society for now. I watched the first episode of Empire. I was like, I get it. But like Olive Garden, I do not feel a need to repeat or come back to this place.
It's not an authentic experience.
It's not like Hospitaliano, okay?
Right? Yeah. No, it's terrible.
It's like so predictable. And this is like, and then even the stuff that happens that's not predictable is just so off the wall. It's just like, yo, this girl's pregnant. What if she gave birth to a lion? And they're like, yo, run with it. And the lion raps. And we're going to sign him. But then Eazy-E's Ghost comes. It's like, yo, that's my song. And everyone's like, yo, we love this. And I'm like, this makes no sense.
I bet that writer's room is dope.
What really makes no sense is how everyone like jumped on board. And you're the only person like in your circle who's like, no. I don't watch it.
The whole idea that we have to be at home on a Wednesday night to watch something, that goes against everything we've tried to create on Twitter and social media. Like, we're done with TV telling us when to be home. Like,
right,
this is
exactly
something you should be able to watch on your own.
Right.
And now, like, you have to be home or spoilers ruin it.
Right. The only things you should be home to watch are sports live
and Scandal.
And
wow.
I was going to say the Republican debate, the first one.
Oh, that was so good.
That was
like a 1994 All-Star Game dunk contest.
It was
like every time you're like, it can't get better. Someone else came through.
You were Dikembe then.
Oh, was I Dikembe?
I'm just saying.
Like, listen. I love that debate. It was just like, it couldn't get better, and it just kept getting better.
It was amazing.
Did we DVR it? We should just like watch it.
We should.
Just follow my tweets on it. Because I know a lot of people
I mean, like, I watched it live. I'm just saying, like, we should just like rewatch it.
By the way, rewatch it. If you want, I'll open this up to Deezus as well.
Yeah.
Jeff wanted to have Jim Jones come over here, and we could all watch it live together. If you want to come through.
Let me know when.
Yeah. The second one is in September.
Let me know. I'm with it. I'm so with it, yo. I was watching it, and in my head, I was like, yo, this is going to be great. It surpassed every expectation I had. Like, Donald Trump about to call Megyn Kelly the cunt.
I was crazy.
Yo, like, it was just, it was like Ben Carson comes through, like, hey, I'm the black guy, but I'm not really black. I'm neuroscience. It's like, no, you're like still black guy.
Right. And then where, like, where are we at in 2015? That was the answer.
That was just like so many people. It was literally the game One Blood Remix. Republicans.
When he's like,
like, every time you were like, oh, they're done, they're like, no, here's another candidate. And they would just say something off the wall like, I don't understand why embryos can't vote. And everyone's like, yes.
Yes. Wait, did you watch the earlier with like the
Happy
the
Hour?
Squad? Yeah.
Happy Hour. Yeah. Chill. Live from down the hatch.
Yo,
I saw it.
It's so funny to watch everybody do like clear, like softball, like, oh no, red meat sort of answers.
Right.
Yeah.
But then like have no applause.
No,
like,
applause.
Carly Fiorina just like standing there and being like, well, Hillary Clinton went to Donald Trump's wedding. Am I right?
And it's like, yo, we're fixing post.
Yeah.
Jasmine canned laughter. Shout out to, did you see Hillary Clinton's Snapchat joke this weekend?
No, I'm not. Jeff's on Snap. I'm not.
She did it on Twitter. She was like,
oh,
she was like, because Hillary Clinton tells jokes that are aimed at millennials the way an undercover cop would. Like, she's very much like, hey, let's see what's going on the Instagram. Isn't that pause there? So she goes, so I recently joined Snapchat. And she waits. And she goes, yeah, I love it. They automatically delete emails for you. And everyone's just like,
aww.
It's like, yo, dog, did you just like make a joke about transparency and national security? Like, that shit is neither bay or on fleek. Like, this is something we're going to come back to, but God bless. Like, who are your social media advisors? Like, she is the worst. You saw her emoji thing, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, oh, you're a Bernie Sanders plant. Like, you're clearly trying to. I'm like, dog, like, I am not voting for anyone. I'm voting for Obama again.
I
don't care how this works.
Right.
And it's like, I have Bernie Sanders people yelling at me. I have Hillary people yelling. And I'm like, yo, they're both whack.
You know why they're yelling at you?
Yeah, you need to block 80,000 of your followers.
You should. They're yelling at you because you got that blue check next to you.
It is. Yeah. They're just like, who are you supporting? I'm like, I'm not supporting. Like, dog, I'm supporting my man Kyle Tito, who just got out of jail. We go out to smoke the wild Izzy's on 169. Like, I'm not into. People are just like, yo, like, I follow for jokes. I don't follow for politics. I was like, dog, the closest to politics I've done on Twitter is like my free Max B tweets.
Also,
speaking of which,
well, let me just say, Twitter's free, so stop complaining.
Yeah. Like, like, you paid how much?
Yeah.
Back to Free Max B.
Yep.
How can we Free Max B?
We can't. The problem with the Free Max B thing is two people died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Max B is.
Yeah.
And he has been charged with very serious crimes.
But I do.
Like, everything's rumors are cool. Like, the whole, hey, let's free Max B. And it's just like, no, if Max B killed my father, I'd be like, keep that motherfucker locked up.
Right.
I do feel like you can just make an excuse for anybody, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, like.
He's too wavy to be locked up.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, like, when T.I., we made a video about T.I. getting locked up, and we were just like, oh, you know, T.I. Is less prone to do a violent crime than anybody else.
Right. The Max B thing was worse than anything T.I. has done, though.
Like,
factually speaking.
Yeah.
Like, great artists.
Facts.
But
you know, I knew the T.I. thing was pretty serious because it was like the front page story on the New York, the Daily News, and nowhere in the story did they mention that he was a rapper named Max B. They're just like Charlie Wingate, whatever, killed two people, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, wow, keep him off the streets. And I'm just like, hey, sweetie, baby, such in Miami. And then everyone's like, yo, that's that, and that. And I was like, yo, okay, all right, whoa.
I don't know if you know this. We played Scrabble with Max B.
Did you?
Yeah.
At his apartment. I've seen that video.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, as an idea, amazing, right?
Right.
So here's how it went down. Karen Civil, who is now like Karen Civil,
right?
She's like, you know, this was many moons ago.
Yes.
She was Max B's publicist amongst like some other people.
Yeah.
She worked with Dipset, and then that she moved to that Max B thing, and then she was like, "Yo, guys, he has a huge audience. You guys should totally do a sketch."
But
with
also,
him.
Max B is a huge fan of yours.
We're like, dope. Like, that's awesome.
Right.
We are going to do a great sketch. So Jeff comes up with this idea because, you know, he has all these phrases like
wavy right. and like, ow. And so we were like, oh, we'll just play Scrabble with him. He'll say like these words that we're stretching into like 18 letters. He's like, those aren't words.
Yeah, right. We're using like upside down like V's, you know, as like A's. And like, you know, we're just like.
Shouts to ASAP.
Yeah, we're using like street rules apply for Scrabble. Right.
Yeah.
And so we were going to shoot it here in this apartment. And then at the last minute, Karen's like, change of plans. We're going to go up to Sedgwick Avenue where Max B was living.
Wow.
Yeah, like right down the street from where hip hop was born.
We thought we were going to die. Yeah.
Man. So we go up there. We take a cab up there. Mm-hmm. We get out. We go up in there. And his apartment, no furniture except an ottoman and a desk for a Pro Tools rig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I Bronx. Got yelled at. So Bronx.
I got yelled at for not taking my shoes off.
Yep. Yeah.
I got yelled at for not looking out the peephole before opening the door for somebody.
It was a very
which I deserved
because
I deserved that
because you know we're coming in there with a Canon XL2 camera, a Scrabble board, our scripts printed out for Max, and there's like 10 dudes
just
sitting
chilling in the front.
Right off camera, like the radiator, not happy to see us. Right, like we are the last people they want to see.
And also, Max B doesn't know who we are.
Has no idea. Yeah. And by the way, also supposed to come through that night, Ron Artest, not Meta World Peace. This is like Ron Artest time.
Back when he was like Ron.
You know the producers, the business?
The business.
They were there that night. Mr. Fab from the Bay was there.
Wow.
It was like an all-star, you know, occurrence. Yeah.
All going to Max B's house.
All there. And no furniture. Everyone's standing.
And Max B was gone.
Right.
As like, in like just
hennied out.
Super hennied out. Super like high off whatever, and not in the mood to play Scrabble with these two fools, right?
Wow.
So we shoot half the video before Max just like calls it, says like, I'm not doing this anymore, kicks us out. Karen's like, sorry guys.
Well, because he was like going through obviously stuff coming up to the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he was
not in the mood for it.
Yeah.
So we're like, so we leave there. We're just like, this is the worst experience ever. Like, we've worked at that point with like everyone from Cameron to Bun B to Slaughterhouse to whoever, had great experiences with everyone. Like, everyone's like,
By the way, it should be said that at certain points, Max was having a great time.
Sure.
But then, like, he just like flipped like crazy. Like,
yeah, because listen, having a felony case hanging, I've been there. Oh, yeah. It's a lot.
You've been there.
I've been there.
Felony. Wow.
I was charged. I don't want to get into it, but basically, I had like three outstanding felony cases, and like not even like 4 years ago.
Wow!
Like I was literally going to go to jail for 9 years.
Whoa!
Yes, and shout out to the Bronx Defenders, best public DAs in the city. We beat the charges.
Well, also Bronx Defenders should be their softball like name.
They should be. They got in trouble. They did the Mano video with
Yes. Oh, did you know those?
I know everyone in Bronx. I love Bronx Defenders. Saved my, if it wasn't for Bronx Defenders, there'd be no Deezus.
Wow.
Absolutely no Twitter Deezus, nothing. Like
yeah.
Like people don't realize it. Like one day and like I wanna say it was like 08, 09.
Yeah.
Like 11 or 12. I come back and I'm just like, hey guys, did you miss me? Cause I just imagine I'd be like, I was locked up for, like, a whole weekend.
Wow.
With, like, very serious charges. They were trying to send me to Rikers. Like, even my Bronx Defender lawyer was like, yo, dog, you are going to jail. Like, we can't beat these charges. And just because the cop didn't fill out the form properly.
Yeah.
Like, the judge was like, dog, like, I can't do anything with this. Like, we have to release him.
Holy
like,
cow.
Like, if he had filled it out properly, you guys would not be interviewing me right now.
Wow.
Like, none of this shit would have
happened. We'd be interviewing Mero.
You would not. Because DVM would have never happened. Like, we'd have none of that. Like it was. I'll talk more about it, but it was just such a crazy thing. Basically, a guy I was hanging out with on a street corner pulled out a gun on a cop.
Wow!
But we didn't know they were cops. Like he thought it was someone who had robbed him the night before.
Wow!
And then like as the guy, he's like, "Get the fuck out of the car!" And then the cops just pull out their shield.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh shit!" And he takes off running this way. I'm over here. I'm literally sending a tweet, and I'm in front of the car, and I'm just like,
"Wait, what was the tweet?"
Something like, "Yo, if your girl's not home, she's a hoe." Something very easy. And so I'm just like, "Wow, that's crazy over there." I say very loudly, "I'm going to continue walking this way since I had nothing to do with that."
Mm, right. You made that clear when you were saying.
Made that very clear. Put my phone away, and I'm walking very calm. I don't run or anything. Mm-hmm. I get to the end of the block. A DT car pulls up. The door swings open, and the Spanish cop runs at me with the gun, like, "Put your hands up! Put your fucking hands up!" And I'm just like, "They're up. They're up, sir." And basically, like, I get put in the back of the car, and that cop comes back and goes, "It was him. It was him." And I was like, "No, it wasn't. It wasn't, dog. It was someone else." Like, and I'm just, like, locked up for 3 days.
Holy shit.
Like, sleeping underneath the bench and all types of just craziness. I'm calling my sisters. I'm like, "Yo, I'm in jail with, like, a felony gun charge, blah, blah." And, like, I remember the cops were sassy to me. The cop was like, "Yo, I'm going to send you to a jail where no one can visit you." And I'm like, "Joke's on you. My family's West Indian. They weren't coming to visit anyway." And then he was just like, "Yo, snitch on your friends." I was like, "I don't even know them. We went to kindergarten." Like, it literally was like a guy I went to grade school with.
Oh, my God. It was Chris Hayes.
And it was just like, it was funny. It was like, that's literally where I learned to be funny. Because, like, if you could make 40 guys that are about to go to jail laugh. Yeah. And I had everyone in bookings laughing and people was, like, trying to get transferred into our cell.
Yeah.
So I'm basically doing, like, a one-man HBO show.
Yeah.
Doing jokes about.
Were you doing, like, a tight five?
I'm doing, like, "Hey!" Callbacks. I'm doing UCB and then improv stuff.
Crowd work.
And, no. And I remember, like, when they released me and they was like, "Yo, take the cuffs off him." Like, people in the gallery and the judge was like, "Yo, my man Jesus is out." Like, all the little kids were like, it was very over the top Disney musical, but
yeah,
it was, that was, and the thing was, I got released, but we still had the charges for, like, so for, like, the next 7 months, I was fighting felony charges.
Jesus. Yo.
So it was
Jesus.
It was very serious for Jesus.
Yo, yeah. it's really the big pun signature's fault. Yeah. Yeah. All
exactly.
That. Yeah.
So, you know, but we made it out and here we are.
Wow. So,
and when I see that cop that lied on me is on site, nigga.
But you know, probably wouldn't do that now.
No, you know what's funny? I actually was in IKEA with my, at the time, girlfriend. IKEA that just opened. Well, not open.
Red Hook?
At the time, in Red Hook. Yeah, just opened. And I saw a cop. I saw a guy and I thought it was him.
Okay.
What?
And
did you pull your gun out?
No, I didn't pull out the gun, but just the rage in me. Because one part of the arrest process, he took me in the back of the precinct, took photos of me with his iPhone, which are not, like, going into the system. Like, he took his own personal photos of me, thinking that I tried to kill him.
Oh.
I pulled a gun on him.
What?
And I was like, "Where are these photos going?" And he was like, "You mind your fucking business." And I couldn't do anything because I'm cuffed. So it's just, like, that kind of thing. So if I was to see him, it would be, like, some sort of thing. But now I'm, like, I'm on TV, so I'm just like, whatever, I don't care.
But
if I had nothing else going on, like, that's the kind of thing that you become obsessed with. Like, you would, that would ruin your life. You'd hang out in front of a precinct all day, like, "Yo, this cop ruined my life. This cop did something with the photos."
Yeah, holy shit.
Like, you know, it could have gone totally wrong. Like, say I did get, like, arrested and, you know, like, I didn't do any of that. But if I got railroaded or something, I would have had, like, multiple felony charges on me. I would never had a good job. I wouldn't have the bad job I had that let me get on Twitter.
Right.
Who knows where I'd be? I'd be like in a wheelchair at a bodega right now, like, yeah. I could have had a podcast, Buy Me a Cobra.
Thank God that went your way.
Yeah. And you know, listen, there's only but so many peanut butter sandwiches you could eat in a weekend. And then just like, "Yo, I'm going to cut someone's face." That's what it's not. People, I think a lot of people in prison like attack other people because you get bored. There's nothing going on. If we gave every inmate an iPad and a Twitter account, I think jail violence would drop to zero.
See, but you don't fuck with iPads.
No, I have an iPad.
Okay.
I don't fuck with...
With iPhones.
I don't fuck with technology that makes sense with the technology I have.
Okay.
So I have a Joy, so I don't have, like, a Joy computer. I have a MacBook, and I have to do wild shit there, and I have the iPad, and I have Dropbox, and I might get an iPhone watch just to be difficult and just work my thing. But... No, like, just give people iPads. Because I remember that was the thing, and it sounds funny. When I was locked up, I just constantly kept reaching for my pocket because I wanted to tweet. And I was like, fuck! Yeah. I'm in jail! Can't tweet this shit. I was like, yo, maybe. So I thought if I got, like, a roll of toilet paper, and I just wrote down the tweets and rolled them up, and then when I got out, I could tweet them out.
And
I did that for about 3 tweets.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck this! Like, I get out of here! I can't live in here. Let me out. Attica. And they're like, yo, chill. You've been here for like an hour. I was like, I can't do this.
But you went through 3 days.
I went through 3 days. I went through holding in the 47th precinct. Yep. I went to Bronx House of Detention. Man. Went from the first floor to the second floor to the seventh floor to arraignment. And when you get to a point where it's just like you don't have no fight left and you're just friends with everyone there, you're like, yo, I'm going to sleep underneath this bench. Please don't stab me.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, I wake up at 6 o'clock when cereals come through. You're like, yo, thanks. Thanks, Poppy. What are you doing here? Like, I molested 5 kids. I was like, you know, yeah, you did, but you seem, you seem cool. You can't tell someone in prison they're not a good rapper.
Well...
No.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, no, there's like, no
go
way.
Ahead, no, go ahead. Yeah. No, there's just, you can't. It's like, being in prison and telling someone they're not a good rapper is like telling your girl she looks fat. Like, you can, it just won't end well for you.
Right, right,
well,
no, right. It's just the, it's the one dress.
It's the one dress. You're like, no, yeah. Nah, like, you look good, boo. Yeah. I'm like, yo, that's ill. I remember a guy performed his whole album in, like, about 3 hours.
Wow.
You said people were getting bored in prison.
People were getting... No, he was performing... Like,
yeah, how could... You were just sitting there and you were captive
audience. It wasn't serious until he started doing the interludes.
Oh, wow.
And then I was just like, wow. Like,
he performed a double album?
He was doing it all. He was doing like, B.O.G., what does this mean? Bitches always ask me what the hell is... Like, he's doing all that. He's doing the sketches.
He did, like, the carnival, like, both sides. Yeah.
Yo.
I knew it was serious when he was doing the ad-libs on a track, and I was like,
wow.
Wow. I was like, yo, like, I'm not an AR. Like, I can't do anything for you.
A one-man show.
He was like, yo, this is track. So track three, right?
Yeah.
Like, it comes in, but the sketch is, right, like, me and my man, we in the car, we buying guns, and the cops roll up. So you be my boy, all right?
Wow.
So your lines are. And I'm just sitting there like, damn, I'm going to be locked up with these niggas for 9 years. I was like, I got to get out of here.
This is just.
Yo, like, you should have brought them to Jay.
I know. I couldn't. Yeah. I didn't have to pull. I mean, if I had it, I didn't. That's the other thing. You can't be too smart when you're locked up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be like, yo, I used to work at Rockefeller.
No, of course. Yeah, I know, yeah. So you did or did not know Mero, like...
You knew him before.
I knew Mero before, but not like, yo, this is my motherfucking man.
No, of course. Yeah.
Like, I knew, like, it was like, Mero was like a... The thing about the Bronx is huge, but there's like six people in the Bronx, and everyone is like a non-player character in the background, just floating around.
Yeah.
And Mero was like, yo, I know Mero from the Bronx, but I don't know Mero like that. Like,
right.
I've been around him.
Do you know Sonia Sotomayor?
See? Like, her. Like, you know, by face. You know, she threw it up.
By reputation.
But no, like, what's funny is, like, I knew Mero, but then on Twitter, I had to be reintroduced to him. And I was like, who is this asshole tweeting in all caps? Like, what is this? Like, I'm supposed to read this shit?
Right.
He's like, yo, I'm from the Bronx. I'm like, yeah, could you, like, tweet in lowercase? So let's see, like, you're shouting. And then when I run into him in the room, I'm like, oh, this dickhead. Like, yeah, I know you. Like, we know each other.
And it took Donnie Kwok at Complex to...
Reconnect.
Yeah, to make Reconnect. TVM yes. happen.
To make... Yeah. That was Donnie was like, yo. But if you go back, every time me and Mero would interact on Twitter, people really loved it. People were just like, yo, you guys have a natural chemistry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There should be more here.
Even on Twitter.
On Twitter, right off
the rip.
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, people could, like, see that.
Right away. Like, our tweets were like, it was like some John Stockton, whoever.
Yeah.
Like, let me use the proper Nick reference. It was like Chris Charles and Hubert Davis.
Wow. Well, Allen Houston, whatever.
Don't get me started on Allen Houston.
I'm just saying. Here's my problem with Allen Houston. Actually, my problem is really with the Knicks. Why did they give him that last huge contract? Was that Isaiah?
Riding the bench
that's
in a
why.
Suit.
What's crazy is
money.
That Isaiah makes so many good decisions. I do want to know what Pete Caucasity. Not what is it. I want to know, where's the whitest place you've ever been?
Pete Caucasity was. Yeah. I had to take my dog to the vet in Scarsdale yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, first of all, I'm taking my dog to a vet in Scarsdale. That's kind of Caucasity for
me. Yeah. It's kind of fancy.
That is fancy. And they don't know what I do, but they know I do something. And last time I went there was like, I was boarding my dog when I went to South by Southwest.
Yep.
And they was like, you're the rapper who had to board the dog for Austin. I was like, close enough. So wow. I go in there because
my
dog
maybe they knew
to,
you from like the Lex Brothers.
They did not.
Yeah.
They did not.
Big fans.
So I go in there because my dog has to get like blood work or something. I don't know. And there's just a white lady, older white lady, very sensible shoes, very calm, you know. And she just has a hawk in a blanket. And it's on her lap. And she is not holding it down. She's not cradling it. She's on her phone. She's texting or something. And the hawk is like kind of moving. And she goes, calm down, Chance.
Wow.
And the hawk goes like this and just calms down. And I looked at her, and she looked at me like, motherfucker, if you make me a meme, I will hunt you down and kill you. Because she knew I was about to take out my phone.
Wow.
You seen a person, comma, hawk, by name? That's Pete Caucasity, my brother.
I remember the first time we met Mero was at a Wale listening.
He always talks about, like...
And Wale, like...
Oh, they're going to be like, he always talks about meeting us. And I was like, that is not true.
Wale always fucked with Mero and championed him and was like, this guy's going places. Which rapper is that for you? Who's your who's reached out to you and was like,
who
like
is
early?
Your Wale?
Yeah.
Who's my Wale? None. Nobody.
No one did.
No one has ever rapper has ever reached out
what
to
about,
me. Like,
what about like comedians or celebrities that reached out to you early that were just like, I see what you're doing, I support it?
No.
Really?
Wait, no, by the way, we are rappers and comedians, and we just reached out to you.
You did.
I guess we are. So
you know what? No, to be fair, like Hannibal Buress,
yeah,
who's
Hannibal,
always, he's like a big supporter. Yeah. Like, he followed me early on, and like, he DM'd me like, yo, I fuck with your shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was cool. And like, the thing is, like, Hannibal, like, I see him, I'm like, yo, that's Hannibal. And then I see Hannibal, and Hannibal's like, yo, what's up,
he's
dude?
The dopest.
Like,
yeah.
He's so cool. We were hanging in South by Southwest.
Yeah.
He goes to all the rap shows.
Yeah. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's so, like, he's just, in South by Southwest, he came in, and he was, like, with, like, a group of just 20 Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
They all had, like, banners on that said, fuck the police. And he's in the middle. He's a Hawaiian shirt. And, like, I'm mad drunk. This is, like, the Ilmore.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, I think Hannibal's in trouble. We gotta go save him, Miro. So we go over there and we're just like, yo, Hannibal, yo, you like I go in the middle of the Bloods. I'm like, yo, you good, Mom G? It's Hannibal. Hannibal's like, yeah. And I'm like, yo, we over here, we hanging over here. Come with us. And he's like, yo, I'll see y'all later. So he comes with us. And I'm like, yo, you everything all right? He's like, yo, I walked in at the same time as them. I didn't know them. And I was too scared to like move away. It turned out to be like Shy Glizzy and like his people. Yeah. And they're just like, they did a song like, yo, fuck the police. Yo, if you don't fuck with the police, put one hand in the motherfucking air. You want us to put wings on pigs? And I'm just like, yeah, fuck police. Blue lives don't matter. Fuck them.
Yo, so, I love the idea that Hannibal's been like radicalized like that.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, someone grab him, please.
Have you ever been to Rye Play Land?
Doug, my sister's boyfriend used to work at Rye Play Land.
Really?
So we would go there, and you didn't have to give tickets to ride the rides.
Wow.
But then you'd be on the rides and be like, this is not Great Adventures. This shit is trash.
Yo, you rode the Dragon Coaster?
Dragon Coaster is made from wood. Why is the scariest part of a roller coaster getting a splinter and not the actual drops? Or like it's shaking. It's just like, this is not safe.
Well, no, the scariest part is that like the bottom is like falling out of
it's
all
just
the tracks.
It's just
rotted. Yeah.
It's just bad. It's made from like old MTA tracks. It's just it's not safe whatsoever. They're just like, oh, and it's like you feel the wind and it's shifting back and forth.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm gonna die up here.
Oh, so it
and they're
exciting.
Like 10 tickets by the way.
So it is exciting.
It's great.
And did you ever have the opportunity or want to work at Yankee Stadium?
Oh. All my cousins worked at Yankee Stadium.
Really?
All my cousins. Shout out to Sanaya, Libby, damn, everyone. Nini Pini, everybody. Yeah. Renee was out there.
Like selling Dippin' Dots?
Selling
like,
Dippin' Dots, yeah. Selling the beers.
Wow.
I have one cousin, he was the guy that throws the popcorn mad hard.
Dope.
And hit a girl in the face. And, like, she was like, yo, he broke my nose.
Should we close with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're from Harrison.
Originally from Harrison.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
DMX would come to our town all the time because there was a model. There was a
like a train,
a remote control car. Like
they advertised on the Metro North. I see.
Yep. And he would stop in our town all the time to go to that one store, and he would buy like all the kids who would come to see him pizza from the place next door. But because he would like drive through our town all the time,
he would get pulled over all the time.
Like
and
on
so
the
he
hutch.
Would go to our courts all the time,
right?
And so kids would ditch school and hang out at the courts all the time
to
and
see a
DMX.
DMX.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I interviewed DMX like maybe 3 or 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and we started talking about it, and we were having a great conversation. Like, it is like probably the best interview that DMX has ever done. 6 minutes into it, he goes, hold on, leaves forever.
Wow.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Wow, that's like, I caught a case in Manhattan. This
yeah.
is unrelated to the other case I was telling you about. And this was the same time Ja Rule got caught with the gun possession.
Yeah.
And so every time I would go to court, there'd be like mad media and like people out there for like Ja Rule, and I'm tight because I had like my own case on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to see this shit. So you see Ja Rule come through, and the thing was Ja Rule could have just easily done his gun possession thing.
Yeah, right.
But he fought it for like 3 years
yeah,
or
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that.
Right.
So he ended up having to do it 3 years after the 3 years he fought it for, which if you had just like pled guilty, you've
yeah,
been done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would just sit there. I was like, yo, he's a dickhead.
And that's how dickhead. You ended up a Cadillac Ta fan.
That's
right.
That is.
That's
listen.
Right.
I'm Pop City Anthem too. It's coming out. Pop City Anthem 2016. It's lit.
Jesus, we so appreciate you coming.
I had fun, man.
This is dope.
This was dope.
Yeah,
this
man.
Lit.
Yo.
Shout out to y'all.
Yeah, appreciate it.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.